You're listening to ESL Podcast's English Cafe, Episode 14. This is English Cafe, Episode 14. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you, as always, from the Center for Educational Development in the beautiful city of Los Angeles in the state of California in the United States of America. Today's cafe, we are going to talk about popular baby names in the United States. What Americans name, what names they give their babies nowadays. We'll also mention a little bit about seatbelt laws in the United States. And, of course, we'll answer your questions. Here we go. Before we get started on the cafe today, I get a lot of emails from you, and I thank you for sending me your suggestions and your questions. One suggestion that I get, actually two suggestions. One is that I spell more words. So when I introduce a new word, there are some people who have emailed me who want me to spell those words, more of those words. I also get emails from people who want me to spell less words. So they think I spell too much. I say spell less words. You should say spell fewer words. But in informal English, we often use less instead of fewer. And that is one of the difficulties, of course, of doing a program like this where different people have different ideas, and it's impossible to make everyone happy. So I've decided that I'm going to spell more and less. MoreAndLess. Today's first topic is on popular baby names, what Americans call their children. Now, when I was younger, many years ago, 100 or so years ago, common names were like John and Paul and Mike and Mark, Stephen. These were popular boys' names, and girls' names were Mary and Kathleen and Therese. These were popular names when I was growing up, and probably for many years. My grandfather's name was Frank, which is a very common name from Francis. My father's name is Patrick. My mother's name is Mary. And these were popular names when I was growing up. But sometime around maybe the 1970s, the names started to change. People wanted more unusual, different names to give their children. And I took a look at a list of the most popular baby names. And the examples here are very different. Less common names than we used to use for children. The top five boys' names are Jacob, Aiden, which is spelled A-I-D-A-N, and that's another change. People have very different spellings of names nowadays. Number three for boys in the U.S. was Ethan, followed by Ryan at number four. I have a nephew, by the way, who is named Ryan. And number five was Matthew, which is a pretty common name, has always been a common name. So of those five, probably the only one that was very common is Matthew. The girls' names, for several years, the number one name was Emily. But now the number one name is Emma, E-M-M-A. The second most popular girl's name, which I think is very interesting, is Madison, M-A-D-I-S-O-N, Madison. Now, Madison was one of the presidents of the United States, early presidents. There's also a city in Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin. In fact, it's the capital of Wisconsin, called Madison. And now it is a girl's name. I don't know why, but it is. Number three is Emily. Number four is also very popular, and that's Caitlin, spelled K-A-I-T-L-Y-N. And finally, the fifth most popular name is Haley, H-A-I-L-E-Y. Now, when I was growing up, you would probably not hear any of those names in school, but now these are the most popular names. And of course, people who are famous, celebrities, like to give even stranger names to their children. The most famous case of this might be the American movie actress Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow, who won an Oscar, a big award for the best actress a few years ago in the movie Shakespeare in Love, which is a very funny movie. If you have not seen it and you like Shakespeare, you should see Shakespeare in Love. That was the title in English. And Gwyneth Paltrow named her first child Apple, like the fruit that you eat. Apple. And so many people make jokes about that very unusual name. Well, speaking of babies, and that expression, speaking of, means since we have been talking about babies, let me bring a new topic in. Speaking of babies, there was a something of a controversy a few weeks ago here in the U.S., when a famous celebrity that you probably know, Britney Spears, she's a famous singer, tall and blonde and I guess very attractive. I don't know. I don't look at other women, only my wife. But Britney Spears has a baby, and in the United States, if you have a child, especially, but really anyone who's in the car, who's in a car, has to be has to have a seat belt on. And a seat belt, all one word, S-E-A-T-B-E-L-T, a seat belt is that thing that keeps you in the car if there's an accident. It prevents you from flying out of the car, if you will. Well, Britney Spears had the baby in her lap, meaning sitting on her legs, and she was driving. And this is very illegal and very dangerous in most states in the United States, and it depends on individual states, because you may know that although there are national laws in the United States, each state has their own laws about many different things. Well, in California especially, a baby has to be in a special chair, and what we would call a car seat, and that baby has to be strapped in. And to be strapped, S-T-R-A-P, to strap, is to make sure someone stays where they are by, or something stays where it is, by putting a rope or, in this case, a seat belt, so the baby is safe. Well, she did not have the baby in a car seat. And so when someone took a picture of it, of course, every newspaper printed this picture saying that she was not a good mother because she did not have the baby in a car seat. And if you drive in the United States, if you come visit to the United States, you will find out that it is the law. You are required to have a seatbelt, even if you are an adult. If you are driving the car or riding in the car, you need to have a seatbelt. We would say the seatbelt must be fastened. To fasten, F-A-S-T-E-N, means that the seatbelt is around you and it is secure, meaning it's working and it will protect you. If you do not have a seatbelt on, you can get a ticket. And a ticket, when we talk about driving and getting a ticket, T-I-C-K-E-T, it's not a ticket to a concert or a play. It's a fine. It's a penalty. It's money that you have to pay because you broke the law. You did something illegal. And police officers, if they see you driving, will pull you over to give you a ticket. To pull over, when we say a police officer pulls you over, we mean they turn on their lights and their sirens, you know, woo, 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 and you have to stop your car and find out what the problem is. I don't know, that hasn't happened to me, but that's pulling you over. So if you are here in the U.S., be sure to have your seatbelt on so you don't get a ticket. Now let's move on and answer a few questions. Our first question today comes from Michael in Germany. Michael wants to know what the expression "don't get mad, get even" means. What does the expression "don't get mad, get even," E-V-E-N, what does that mean? Well, we say that expression when someone does something wrong to you, when someone hurts you or does something bad to you, and you decide that you're not going to get angry or mad. Instead, you're going to do something bad to them. You're going to, another way of saying this is to get your revenge, R-E-V-E-N-G-E. To get revenge means to do something wrong to someone else because they did something wrong to you. That's another way of saying that is to get even. If you're going to get, G-E-T, even, that means you're going to get revenge on that person. So it's an old expression, don't get mad, get even, means don't get angry at someone, but instead do something wrong to them. That's the expression. I'm not recommending that as a way of living, certainly. Alessandro from Italy also has a question about an expression that begins with don't. His question is about the expression don't spoil her or don't spoil someone. To spoil, S-P-O-I-L, someone means to treat them very well, to treat them very, very well. In fact, you treat them so well that the person gets used to being treated so well. And then they begin to expect that you are going to be good to them all the time. We usually say this about children. Don't spoil your children means don't be good to them so much that they expect and demand that you give them things, for example. In this example, Alessandro is asking about If he's on a date, if he's going to dinner, for example, with a girl, a woman, and what does the expression mean if she says, "Don't spoil me"? Well, a woman might say that as a compliment to a man, meaning, "You are treating me so well. You are treating me very, very well." Normally, women, I think, don't mean it when they say, "Don't spoil me." That's a compliment to you, meaning, "You're treating me so well, I'm going to get used to this good treatment." But my recommendation would be to continue to treat her very well. So thank you, Alessandro, and good luck. Jean-Baptiste, originally from France, now living in England, has a question about the verb to undertake, all one word, UNDERTAKE. What does to undertake mean? Good question. The verb to undertake is used a lot in business and other formal types of English. We use this verb to mean to begin a project, a large task or a large job, something that requires a lot of work. We'll often use the verb instead of to begin, we'll say to undertake. I'm going to undertake this project. It can also mean that you are working on a task or a project. I am undertaking to finish the book that I began. But more common, I think you will hear the verb meaning to begin. I'm going to undertake something. But it can also mean just to be working on some big project. Another possible meaning of undertake is to commit, to promise to do something. Yoshi, originally from Japan and now living in Baltimore in the United States, has a question about using the expression compare to, T-O, and compare with. When do you say compared to, and when do you say compared with? For example, A, compared to, B, or with B. Both of these expressions are correct. You can say she is compared to him. You can say she is compared with him. I would say that to is more common than with. So if you want to be safe, if you want to make sure you're not making a mistake, I would say that you can use to, and you will probably never have a problem. You can also, of course, say compared with, and many people, especially in maybe a little more formal setting, occasion, might say compared with, but really they're identical in meaning and both are correct. Our last question comes from Mandy from Germany, and Mandy wants to know, has a question about a cafe, something I talked about on a cafe a few weeks ago. We were talking about cheers and regards as a way of ending an email, and I said these are more common in Great Britain and Australia. And she wanted to know what people say in the United States. How do you end an email? And I think this question, it's a good question. It depends on whether it's a formal email or an informal email. I would say for a formal email to a company or someone, we would probably use the same words we would use to end a letter. So sincerely, or sincerely yours, S-I-N-C-E-R-E-L-Y, sincerely or sincerely yours. You can also say cordially, C-O-R-D-I-A-L-L-Y, cordially. If it's an informal email, there are all sorts of possibilities. You can say, I would say the most common way of ending it is usually with a phrase rather than a word. At least that's what I do. So I might say, talk to you later, comma, and then my name, Jeff. Or see you soon, comma, Jeff. Or thanks for the information, comma, Jeff. Sometimes I end an informal email by saying simply thanks, comma, and then in the next line, my name. That's all we have time for on today's English Cafe. As always, come back again tomorrow for the ESL podcast and visit our website at www.eslpod.com. From Los Angeles, I'm Jeff McGuillan. Thanks for listening. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.